Well, it's good to be here tonight. I won't take too long since there's ice cream and cake waiting for us. So, yeah, we have applause for that.
Yeah.
Tonight we're going to conclude the message on how to handle rejection. We've all experienced rejection, whether it is an external rejection or whether it's an internal rejection, whether it's a type of message that is being sent to us that we're not accepted the way we are. Whatever that is, hopefully tonight you're going to see some of the causes of rejection as well as the solution to the rejection. I have to remind us tonight of our main text this morning. And if you want to back up a bit, Rob, up to our main text, there we go, to Colossians chapter 1, in verse 21. It says, "And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You tonight that we can come, that we can celebrate all that You've done in our lives. And Father, as we're going through this series of dealing with life's pressures and life's issues and situations, we pray, Father, that You might move mightily in all of our lives. Father, we have, each one of us, had to deal with adversity and anger and guilt and rejection. We pray tonight, Father, that You would lift us up, that You would hear our hearts cry out to You, that you would come into this place and that Your manifested presence would be felt in this place. And Father, we pray that You would anoint every heart to receive this message tonight. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we saw what rejection truly is. We saw the characteristics of that rejection, how sometimes it comes out in an overemphasis of dress. Sometimes it comes out in a critical spirit. Maybe it's unresolved anger. Maybe it's perfectionism. Maybe it's depression. Any way we look at it, it is literally a bondage that we put ourselves in. See, we cannot handle and we cannot control whether we are rejected or not. The only thing we can control is how we respond to that rejection. So tonight I want to look at the causes of rejection. The main cause for rejection is the fact that we have put more weight horizontally than we have vertically. Whenever we put more weight horizontally, we are more worried about what man thinks. We're more worried about what their opinion is. We are focused on pleasing individuals rather than pleasing God. That is the main cause of rejection. It's hard for us when we have so many people around us every day to not have relationships that we put a lot of weight in. But we always have to remember that our vertical relationship is more important than our horizontal relationships. Let me tell you something. If you look at me long enough, I will let you down. If you look at your loved ones long enough and look at how they act and the way they act and the things they say, they will always let you down. But God will never let you down. He is perfect, He is holy, and He is righteous. And that's the only thing that He can accept. So we are imperfect, we are unholy, we are unrighteous. And there's no way that we in our own power and strength can ever please Him. That's why through Christ, we can become holy, we can become unreprovable. That way we are presented to Him perfect. For Him to reject us, He would have to reject the blood of His own Son. That's why God can never reject us. When we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, He would have to reject the blood of His own Son in order to reject us. And that's why it's important that we maintain our vertical relationship, and that it's more important for us to maintain our vertical relationship than it is our horizontal relationships. When you look at the cross, the vertical beam is longer than the horizontal beam. And that is the reminder to us that our relationship with God is the utmost importance. We should have God number one. We should have our spouse number two, our family number three, and our jobs number four. The problem in America is we've got everything exactly backwards. We worship in our workplace. We will put everything, our family comes first, and then our spouse comes, and if we have enough time, then, well, I'll spend some time with God. It's exactly backwards. That's why society is such a wreck today, because they have bought into that lie from Satan himself. The cause of rejection is, first of all, that we have placed more weight horizontally than we have vertically. There are other causes of rejection. Whenever we have a deep emotional hurt, when we have a deep emotional hurt, we are literally sensing that we're not important, that we're unworthy, that we don't fit in. And it attacks us emotionally. There's a lot of preacher's kids, hear me, that wrestle and struggle with that hurt, that emotional hurt of rejection. Why? Because their father's focus is on the church. Their father's focus is on God. Their father's focus is on the wife. And many times, preacher's kids feel like they are left to themselves. That's why preacher's kids sometimes really don't turn out right. I am very thrilled that God has blessed me with kids that are following Him. Did they ever take off on their own? Absolutely. But the Bible clearly tells us when they do that they will return. And so far, all of mine have. By the grace of God. When you have a deep emotional hurt, we are setting ourselves up for new rejections. That deep emotional hurt is the result of rejections. But when we take that and we don't resolve that, what it does is it leaves us injured. How would you treat an amputated leg? You can't use a Band-Aid. And see, many times we are injured emotionally, and without the resolve to fix that, we continually get injured and shot and injured and hurt and injured and thrown under the bus and drugged behind the bus, and we feel rejection on every turn. That deep emotional hurt is caused by rejection. And there's a lot of people here tonight, as well as we're here this morning, that have felt that deep emotional hurt from being rejected, not accepted for who you are. There's another cause for rejection, and that's divorce. I hate to say it, but when one spouse or both spouses decide that they can no longer live together and thrive together, they are literally rejecting one another, and they are saying, I no longer want you to be my mate. That hurts. My brother married my fourth cousin way down the line. Her name was Kathy. Their marriage lasted, a couple years, honey? Something like that. And he was struggling with some things, and he would go to work, and when he got home, he'd sleep, and all he did is sleep, because that's how he got his relief, was to sleep. And before too long, she strayed, he strayed. Now they're no longer together. So God found him. Through all of his struggles, God found him. And through the church, he found another gal. As it were, her name is Kathy also. And she had a daughter by the name of Danielle. Spooky. I was at their wedding. He knew what he was saying when he said, "I do," when he made those vows. But their marriage has broken apart, and now they are separated, and now they're going to be getting a divorce. And it is crushing him. He is the one that has turned to alcohol. And that's the only way that he can solve his problems, to dull the pain, to where he can at least sleep at night. Divorce is devastating. And we have so much divorce in our society and in our churches today that there, if you could see people's hearts, you'd see part of it ripped apart because of the divorce and the dysfunction that's in our society today. It stems from rejection. Rejection is a very serious thing. Many times when we sense and feel that rejection, we don't know how to respond. We don't know, should I say something right now? Should I confront them later? What should I do? Divorce is the outcome of many of that. There's another outcome or cause of rejection, and that's abuse as a child. When a mother will tell a daughter, "I wish you were never born. I wish you were more like your brother." We had a young lady in our student home by the name of Symphony. Her mother actually had asked us that if anything ever happened to her, if we would adopt Symphony. And we agreed to do that. So far, nothing's ever happened to Mom. But Symphony would come to Kathy and come to myself and say, "Did you ever say to your kids, 'I wish you were never born'?" I was appalled. Kathy was appalled. See, that in itself is abuse. And many times, parents will say things out of anger towards their children, and they don't realize the magnitude of that hurt. Symphony has since dated a guy, and she's had a baby now, and Kathy stays in contact with her, and as she does many of our students that we were house parents to. Abuse of a child. Sometimes parents or uncles and aunts and will use them as a source of gratification. And they will use them as a source of gratification physically and sexually. And the only way that they know that they can please that parent or that person that is their guardian is to allow that kind of stuff to take place. And then they're supposed to trust God? When their father abuses them physically and emotionally and sexually, and I tell them they have a loving father in heaven? It's hard. We live in a very sheltered life here in the Midwest. Every year, Milton Hershey School has over 20,000 applicants for underprivileged kids to come to that school. And only 200 are accepted. Every year, there's 100 that can't make it, that wash out. And they go back into that situation. We had a young girl by the name of Amber who was so dysfunctional when she came up from fifth grade and we had the welcome in our house. And she sat with our 12 students and the other students that were coming into our house. And we just went around the table and shared their favorite color, their favorite food, and where they're from. Amber couldn't do that. Amber couldn't tell you her favorite food. She liked blue, the color blue, because it felt peaceful to her. And when I asked her where she was from, she said, "I don't know. I've never lived anywhere longer than a couple months." Amber was put in the school along with her little sister. And they just kept moving her along so that they didn't have to deal with her extremely ADHD. They just kept moving her out of one grade into the next grade into the next grade and thought, we'll move her into middle school. Here she is coming into middle school, and she couldn't even read first grade material. And she was so hyper. I can remember walking through the student home, and she would jump off the back of the couch onto me. And we'd wrestle around a little bit. She was just all skin and bones, just all legs and arms. And she'd touch me on the face and say, "Mr. Ballard, I really love you." And I'd say, "Amber, I love you too." We had her in our home for 3 years. Brought her reading level up so that when she left our home, she was now just a few grades behind. But that girl required so much work. They got merits for keeping their bedroom straight. And her bedroom was always a mess. They had different levels, Spartan, Gold, Brown, and Novice. If you were Spartan, you got all the privileges. If you were a Gold, you had some of the privileges. If you were a Brown, you had lower privileges, and if you were a novice, you didn't have any privileges. You had extra kitchen duty. She was always novice. She couldn't even break the mark to get off novice. I would give her a post-it note to go to her room and do this one thing and bring it back to me. And we would do that every night. "Here's another thing in your room. Make your bed." And she'd bring it back, and then I'd give her, "Put your shoes in your closet," and give it to her, and then she wouldn't come back. And I'd have to go looking for her. And meanwhile, she had gotten sidetracked because she went by the bathroom, had to talk to a bunch of other girls, and totally forgot what she was supposed to be doing. That's Amber. Kathy and I left Milton Hershey School after 4 years. And Kathy stayed in touch with them. Amber's now had two kids. And they're growing up in the same thing that she grew up in. Our society thrives on rejection. And rejection is so real that you cannot live a day in your life without, around people that is, without sensing and noticing rejection. There's another cause of rejection, and that's improper discipline by a parent. Improper discipline. Sometimes you might think it's too severe. But I want you to know the Bible tells us if we spare the rod, we will spoil the child. And it's not good to spoil a child. Do you know what spoiled fruit looks like? How many would like to eat some spoiled fruit? No. And see, a spoiled child is the same way. My grandfather told me years ago before he passed away that if you have to reprimand a child for doing the same thing again, that you just got done reprimanding him, you did not discipline them. He said, that's child abuse. When you discipline a child, they should never want to do that again. But there's a balance. Part of the problem is that fathers spend less than 4 minutes a day with their children of quality time. Oh, they'll spend time watching TV. They'll spend time playing games on the internet and so forth. But good quality time, interaction time, most fathers spend less than 4 minutes a day. That in itself is a form of rejection. Because we're telling the child, you do not deserve any more of my time than what I give you. You do not deserve the quality time that I have. The time that I need to do this, or the time that I need to do this. And so that in itself is a form of rejection. There's got to be a solution. Amen? There's got to be an end. The cycle has to be broken. So, to see the solution to rejection, we need to be aware of three feelings. Three feelings. The first feeling is this: belongingness. That is the feeling of, I belong here. I'm in the right place. I belong in this group. I belong in this family. I'm worth belonging here. When someone comes and visits our church and they don't come back, guess what? They didn't feel like they belonged. That's the biggest thing right there. When we have the need of belonging, and belonging to a group, belonging in our family, for us to have that erased is devastating. It tells us that we no longer belong. That we're no longer linked with this family, or that we're no longer linked with this group. The second feeling is a feeling of worthiness. It says, I'm worth knowing. My opinion is worth hearing. I am a worthwhile person. So when someone comes into our midst as a church and they don't receive that sense of worthiness, if they don't feel like they belong, guess what? They don't come back. They just don't come back. They don't darken the door again. How many times have we had visitors that have come? And then we may call them, we may stop in and visit them, but then they just don't come back. There's a reason for that. The third feeling is competency. Competency. We have the need, each and every one of us, to feel like we are competent. That whatever we do, we can do all right. And we can do it the right way. That we are competent in what we do. We all have that need to feel competent. When you don't feel competent, you won't ever volunteer for anything. And when people come to our church, if they don't feel like they belong, if they don't feel like they're worthy, if they don't feel like they are competent and that they are able to be a part of this, and to help us out, they just don't come back. Those three feelings are the three feelings that we feed on continually. And when we are rejected as an individual, when someone rejects us, they are making us feel like we don't belong. They are making us feel like we are not worthy. They make us feel like we are not competent. And that's why when we look at the problem, the main problem is when we place a high value in other people's opinion. When we value that opinion more than what God says, then we set ourselves up because we will always find that we don't belong. We will always find that we're not worthy. We'll always find someone that can do it better and that we're no longer competent. That's the problem. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to go for the solution and place more of a value of your self-worth in God's opinion? Let me tell you what God thinks. Look with me, please, in John chapter 1, verse 12. In John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Wow. God says we belong. We not only belong to the family of God, we belong together. We are a family unit in this church. We belong together. Everyone's favorite verse, John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. That means we're worthy. We are worthy. And God says, I love you so much, you are so worth my attention that I will give you my Son as the sacrifice that must be made because of your sins. I love you so much that I take your sins and place it upon Him and He dies in your place. Wow, if that's not worthy, I don't know what is. And then Kathy's favorite verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, now we can do all things. We are now competent, not because of us, but because of His empowerment. So now if we believe the solution, God says we belong. God says we are worthy. God says we are competent when He is empowering us. And so now that is the solution to the rejection. There are three words that I want to share with you so that when you feel rejection, you will be able to go back to this and do A, B, and C. The first word is this, identify. Identify the feeling of rejection. Whether that is an external rejection where someone has rejected you, or whether that's an internal rejection where you don't think you're worthy, where you don't think you're capable, or where you think you don't belong. See, there's external and internal. It might simply be a form of communication. It might be a form of manipulation like I spoke this morning. But that rejection has to be identified. Where is it coming from and what is it? Is it external? Is it internal? Is it a form of communication? Is it a form of manipulation? What is it? There's only four. External, internal, a form of communication, or a form of manipulation. That's all. And you have to identify which it is and where it's coming from. That's the first thing, identify. The second thing is this, reject it. Reject those feelings. That's all they are feelings. The truth is, God says you belong. God says you are worthy. God says you are capable. Are you going to believe them and their opinion, or are you going to believe God and His opinion? So you have to identify it, and then you have to reject it. It is a conscious decision that you have to make, or else you will find yourself in bondage. See, if you don't deal with it, and you just put it back there, it never goes away. But if you deal with it, it goes away. And you can be the person that God wants you to be when you identify it, when you reject that feeling, and thirdly, when you affirm God's unconditional love. When you do those things, you will see that you belong. You will see that you are worthy. You will see that you are competent. Jesus made this statement. He says, "All those that come to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Those that come to me, I will not reject. Those that come to me, I will receive with open arms." That's what God says. So the only way we can actually deal with rejection, because we cannot control if we're rejected, we can only control how we respond to that rejection. Identify it, whether it is external, internal, a form of communication, or manipulation. Reject it. Make a conscious decision to reject it and believe God, and then affirm God's love. Spend some time with God. Spend time with God and allow Him to bring that healing into your heart. And when you've done that, that rejection's gone. Because you no longer care what that person said. You no longer care what that person did. That rejection is buried. It's gone. If it pops back up, do the IRA again. Identify, reject, and affirm. That's how we deal with rejection. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much. We thank You for these that have come tonight. We pray, Father, that You would bless us, that You would anoint every heart to allow this message to sink deep into our hearts. Father, we see rejection every day, whether it happens to us or not. We see that form of rejection that's external, and many times we feel it internally. And Father, we just pray that we might be able to put the steps in place for the solution of all of the rejection that we see and feel. And Father, we thank You for who You are and all that You are in our lives. We pray now that You will bless our time together, bless the ice cream and the cake that we're going to partake of, and that You would be glorified through it. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.